And good afternoon. Welcome to our teaching. We'll be talking about identifying false bishops and false apostles. I think it'll be a very good lesson that we'll go over. We're going to go through scriptures, and then also too, we're going to touch upon what early Christian writings had to say about apostles and bishops. There's a lot out there, even going on Facebook, just observation. Everybody and their mama now are calling themselves an apostle. You look at people that are having revivals or conferences, and you have all these apostles. And you have some cessationists that believe that the gifts of the Spirit are no longer functioning, that there's no modern day apostles and prophets. Yes and no. Gifts of the Spirit are still functioning till Jesus comes back, Yeshua comes back. However, in context, you've got to take it by line up on line, precept on things that line up with the scriptures versus things that may be considered off spiritual experiences that don't line up with the word of God. Now, with the apostles, you do have the apostles of the Lamb, those who visually saw Jesus, walked with Jesus as part of Jesus' ministry, and his ascension back into heaven left them to do the work of the gospel of the kingdom. Those apostles went out unto the uttermost part of the world, spreading the gospel, reaching those that are lost, those that were within the nation of Israel. And you have the Apostle Paul that came after that, which we all know the story of the road of Damascus. People try to tend to make the word apostle something very mystical. In essence, it's just one that's sent forth. With what I believe with modern day apostles, with pretty much how they would operate or be under certain their functioning would be to plant churches, to send missionaries out, and just other things like that. But now we have where people in ministry, just in general, they believe that once they've graduated from one place to another and seeking titles, want to be called something greater than what it is and not actually the actual practice. That's why we're going to take looking at the scriptures, looking at early Christian writings, because what we're seeing today is a lot of pride that's taking place in the body of Christ, especially here in America. You don't see people striving to say, okay, I want to have the gifts of administration. Normally, people want to be either apostle or prophet. And we've talked about prophets in the past, who's a true prophet and what's a false prophet. Today, we won't be utilizing our time on that. Primarily, we'll be talking about scripturally and from early Christian writings, from the outset of the early Christian church, what was viewed to be a true apostle or a true bishop, despite what we see in today's times. Some of it is nepotism. People have run church like a business. They elevate family members and sons or nephews or other things into certain positions as a bishop and don't meet the qualifications of a bishop. And likewise, let's go ahead and go into the scriptures. No further ado, I want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. It says, "This is the faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, He desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. So somebody that's called, that's put in a position as being a bishop or overseer, must possess these qualities. It must be blameless. So we have people who, these bishops, some bishops are in and out of strange beds, committing adultery, fornicators, and all these other things, but they still hold the title of bishop. And then we use excuses. Well, you know, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And Bible talks about that you should strive for righteousness and you should resist the devil and several other things. And on, and then we use things, well, gifts come without repentance, which is true. But the main thing Jesus said, that you will know them by the fruit, by their fruit, not by their gift, by their fruit. So we don't go off by somebody who's a very charismatic, demonstrative speaker that's able to get us in emotional ecstasy where we feel like, oh, we had church and didn't really preach anything. And it says also too, sober-minded, good behavior, able to teach, so able to rightfully divide the word of God, not twisting scriptures for their own benefit, not using scriptures to manipulate, to get gain. We'll get more into that because people are motivated by money and they use all types of tricks and other things and all, and they're motivated by materialism and other things and all as a sign that God is blessing them based off money, based off material things. But this stuff would never fly if you're over in a third world country or if you're over in a predominantly Islamic country where Christians are being persecuted and all. This type of message, a prosperity message, would not fly in those situations, and it wouldn't even line up to what the early Christians even believed. Let's go over to Titus chapter 1. We're going to go to Titus chapter 1. And I'm reading from the King James, New King James Version. And then we're going to look at verse 7. So Titus chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 7. Amen. It says, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. Okay, so not greedy. So here's Titus, not greedy for money. So when we're identifying false apostles and false bishops, why is it when there's these empty messages that have no substance, but is able to manipulate people to get into a emotional, hypnotic state of mind where you get people going so much and you use the musicians to drum up excitement and other things and all. And then when people come down, oh, now it's time to give a seed offering. Or you take scriptures, and I've seen this before, so-called apostle did this, took a message, and he is preaching out of Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, and took the scripture out of context. And then the end result, when it was offering time, he took Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, it says, you know, the Lord is saying, the Spirit of the Lord is saying, if you give a $221 seed, God's going to bless you. He's going to bless your business. He's going to do all these other things and all, which you never saw the apostles. Name me one scripture that you've seen in the New Testament where you've seen the Apostle Paul you've seen an Apostle Peter or any of these guys do seed offerings, number one, or take an Old Testament scripture and tell people, based on this, you should give X amount of scriptures. I've seen even Paula White do this with taking Psalms 91 when COVID started to hit, and for a seed of protection to protect against pestilence and other things and all, not knowing the context of Psalms 21 is a spiritual warfare scripture. It's talking about demonic beings and other things that sort, but it's not talking about COVID because COVID is not a demon. But she took that to utilize on people's emotions, people's ignorance. That's why we live in a day where Amos 8 and 11 says that it will be a famine in the land, not for bread, but hearing the word of the Lord. So people aren't enduring sound doctrine, which the apostles, Apostle Paul, warns about not enduring sound doctrine. So a true bishop shouldn't be greedy for money or when it's time to have anniversary services and everything to bleed people out of money. Now, people should honor their pastor. They should honor their bishop, should honor these people. They should not idolize them. And they should also make sure that whoever they're sitting up underneath is preaching the word of God, line up on line, precept on precept, that it's in context with God's word, not taking things out of context, being biblically sound and practicing sound doctrine. I want to go over to, let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 12 through 14. I'm going to pause right there because you have people out there that are calling themselves apostles. You have David E. Taylor, who claims that he has these face-to-face encounters with Jesus and other things and all. He professes that he's an apostle and he's able to prophesy and all these other things and all. But it's a known fact that this man is a fornicator, adulterer, and uses his charisma and other things and all to bed a bunch of women. These are things that aren't gossip or anything. These things are truth. I believe a few years ago, Dove nominated award singer, Vicky Yoy was following after him and had a sexual relationship with him. And she exposed how this man was having sex with her, yet taking money from her and just many other things and all, which goes to, before I read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let me read that and then I'm going to go into some of the early Christian writings of Irenaeus, which he talks about a particular false prophet named Marcus, who had this unique ability to prophesy, but was a false prophet. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 through 14, it says, "But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded as just as we are in the things which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into the angel of light." So when you have people who boast that they're an apostle, that they're a bishop, this is the comings and workings of that is in pride. It's rooted in pride and arrogance. It's rooted in the very nature of Satan. So, you know, I have so many people that want to proclaim having the position of a bishop or as an apostle. It's a pride thing. It's not good enough just to be a pastor and shepherd people and lead them. You have to be more than that. So people start to seek after these titles. You have people out there who go to these quote unquote Bible institutions that they're not earning an actual doctorate in divinity or theology. This stuff is paid for. They paid for the person. I don't mean paying tuition and doing the work and doing the study and writing a dissertation, but these people find somebody to give them maybe an honorary doctorate degree, and then you start putting doctorate, doctor in front of your name, and can't rightfully divide the scriptures, splitting verbs and other things and all, but you want people to call you doctor, and then you want people to call you apostle, and if people just call you by, accidentally call you by your first name, you're correcting them. So you have people that are walking in that. Going back to David E. Taylor, you have Taylor who, quote unquote, is operating, say that he's operating as an apostle, has been proven several times over as a false prophet. Years ago, he had made this outlandish prophecy. I don't know why God even cared about the Super Bowl. He came out with this prophecy that the Denver Broncos were going to beat the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl, and didn't come to pass. They got blown out by the Seattle Seahawks, but people still follow this person, and he duped people out of thousands and thousands of dollars, which is on record. It's just a bunch of receipts. But when you find men who have these silly women following after them, these women that aren't rooted in scriptures, they're being duped and they're being used as sexual objects. I'm going to go over to Irenaeus Against Heresies, Book 1. I'm going to be quoting from chapter 13, verse 3, 4, and 6. So just please bear with me. It said, it appears probable enough that this man possesses a demon as his familiar, by means as whom he seems able to prophesy, and also enables as many as he counts worthy to be partakers of the charisma, or care themselves to prophesy. He devotes himself especially to women, and those such as well-bred, elegantly attired, and of great wealth, whom he frequently seeks to draw after him by addressing them in such a seductive words as these, I'm eager to make you partaker of my charis. And since the Father of all does continually behold your angel before his face, now the place of your angel is among us, it behooves us to become one. Receive first from me, and by the gift of charis, adorn yourself as a bride who is expecting her bridegroom, that you may be what I am and I what you are. Establish the germ of light in your nuptial chamber. Receive from me a spouse and become receptive of him. While you receive by him, behold, the charis has descended upon you and upon your mouth, and prophesy on the women, replying, I have never at any time prophesied, nor I do not know how to prophesy. Then engaging for the second time in a certain invocation, so to be astounded, his deluded victim. So it's deluded. So it's a deluded victim. So the person becomes deluded. This is where you get where these people come and sow a seed, and they prophesy over you, and they tell you God's calling you to be a prophetess or apostle and all these other things and all. Smooth operators. It's a different spirit. That's why you have to go John 1, 4 and 1 talks about testing the spirits. Amen. It says, she then vainly puffed up and elated by these words, and greatly excited in the soul by the expectation that is herself, who is to prophesy. Her heart beating violently from emotion reaches the requisite pitch of audacity and idly, as well impudently utters some nonsense. It happens to occur such as might be expected from one heated, an empty spirit. Referring to this, one superior to me has observed that the soul is both audacious and putrid, and when heated with empty air, henceforth she reckons herself a prophetess and expresses herself thanks to Marcus. This is Marcus, who is referring to a Gnostic leader who proclaimed himself as a prophet, having imparted to her his own charisma. She then makes the effort to reward him not only by gift of possession, in which way he has collected a very large fortune. Sounds like David E. Taylor, or even the guy Holmes that was going around, that so-called false prophet Holmes, but duping these women, but also by yielding up to him her person. And it means having a sexual relationship with these people, or these women, desiring in every way to be united to him, that she may become altogether one with him. But already some of the most faithful women, so this is on the contrary, faithful women, possessed of the fear of God, not being deceived by whom, nevertheless, he did his best to seduce like the rest of the bidding them prophesy, adoring and exaggerating him, have withdrawn from such vile company of revelers that they have done, as being well aware that the gift of prophecy is not conferred on men by Marcus, the magician, but also are but only those whom God sends through the grace above possess divinely bestowed power of prophesying, that they speak when God please, and not when Marcus orders them to do so. For that which commands is greater of a higher authority than that which is commanded, inasmuch the former rules, while the latter is in the state of subjection. If then Marcus or any one else does command, as these are accustomed continually at their feasts to play at drawing lots, in accordance of with lot, to command one and another to prophesy, giving forth as oracles, what in harmony with their own desires, it follows that who commands is greater and of higher authority than the prophetic spirit, through he is but a man, which is impossible. But such spirits are commanded by these men, and speak when they desire, are earthly and weak, audacious, impudent, sent forth by Satan for seduction and perdition, and those who do not hold fast that a well compacted faith, which are received at first through the church. So you have people who, you have these meetings, and you have people who just, I'm a prophesy. And they think they can just prophesy. Well, it's not even what we call prophecy, somebody giving personal prophecy. And a lot of it is not personal prophecy is clairvoyance and other things that take place that people fall out. Ooh, that person read my mail. They knew my mom's middle name. They knew like my bank account number and my address. And now I'm going to sow a seed. A person that's in prophetic ministry, even John the Baptist, you don't hear John the Baptist out by the River Jordan giving people personal prophecies and all. He's preaching repentance and the weight when somebody's under is an oracle, a prophet is an oracle for God. You're going to feel that weight. You're going to feel the message is going to be weighted down. It's going to penetrate. Your soul is going to penetrate your heart, not cater to the evil desires and your own personal desires of your heart, but it's going to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to not my will, God, but your will be done. Amen. So just what I read against heresies when it's talking about Marcus, this lines up. It's Joshua Holmes, is Prophet Joshua, false prophet Joshua Holmes, how people is going off accuracy. Oh, he's accurate and he knew all this and other stuff. But yet, character, a lover of money, a lover of material things like David E. Taylor, all these guys are one and the same. But these women, which Paul talks about in Timothy, these silly women follow after these type of men because they're not grounded in the word. They're not grounded and walking in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. Amen. I'm going to go over to Acts chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 1 through 3, because people ordain people to be bishops, or they go and you run this ordination and people say, I'm getting elevated as an apostle. And a lot of it is church politics and other things play into account. I'm not saying every church is like that, but on the most part, that's what we're seeing. But we're looking at scripture. So here's Paul and Barnabas. They're serving in the church of Antioch. They're not going to any service, giving special seed offerings to get recognized. They're not playing the spiritual, I won't say spiritual, they're not playing the church politics to get a key position within the church. But here they are, they're serving in Antioch, and here's what the leaders in Antioch were doing. And this should be a model that the large amount of churches should follow and not after the flesh. So Acts chapter 13. Verse 1, it says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called the Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they wasn't giving seed offerings and then having somebody stand up and proclaim God's called you. You see a lot of this in the New Apostolic Reformation, making any and everybody an apostle or a prophet. You even have this foolishness now out there with the New Apostolic Reformation, people who are calling them, I'm an apostle to the business world. That's what I'm called to. I'm an apostle to the entertainment world. And this stuff is foolishness and doesn't even line up with the word of God. But let me continue to stay on track. Since they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted, they prayed, they laid hands on them, and sent them out. So they sent them out to start their apostolic ministry, or Paul and them, to move in the area of being an apostle. They started to go out to the Gentiles to reach the lost Gentiles. During that time, and age. It wasn't a lot of hoopla and mystical stuff that was going on. These men were dedicated and faithful men that put themselves in prayer and fasting, and then they were led by the Holy Spirit. They weren't led by, okay, this person is part of our church network, and he's underneath us, and he's giving so many offerings, and he served in this position, and we need to increase his brand and his self-worth by elevating him and not taking into account, is he blameless? One. Is he meek? Is he not giving in to greed? We throw all that stuff out the window, but then we see when the word is presented and these people, we build up these conferences and these convocations and all these other things and all, and these people are elevated to an idol state where people are idolizing them, but by scripture, they're not being confirmed as being a true bishop or a true apostle. Amen. I want to go over to Revelation chapter 2, and it's talking about the church of Ephesus. Now, the Lord has some things against the church of Ephesus. However, some things he did give them props to. It says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works and your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. So they didn't bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have preserved, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Now this is, let's take a look again what he says to the Ephesian church. He says, you have tested those who say there are apostles and are not, and have not found, and have found them, not, but have found them liars. We just eat anything that people spiritually feed us. And naturally, you wouldn't eat anything if I told you I'm mixing something and I'm putting arsenic and other stuff in poison. You know right off the bat, I'm telling you and I'm feeding you this. Are you seeing me put these ingredients, not even telling you, you see me put rat poisoning in your food? Are you going to eat it? The same should be when you should be able to spiritually discern, especially what gets me, most charismatic and Pentecostal churches put so much emphasis on speaking in tongues, yet we don't put any emphasis on discernment. We go off spiritual experiences and don't test the spirits. You test the spirits by the word. Does it line up? What they're saying is, does it line up with the word God? One thing that I love and respect, that I got a great foundation of when I got saved, Bishop James Newman was a wonderful Bible teacher and would teach the word. But one thing that he drilled into early foundation of being a Christian, don't go off what I say. Go home and study it for yourself. Go home and make sure the things that are being said are true. So somebody just comes into the church, I'm an apostle. We just like, ooh, they're an apostle. But we don't test the spirit. Amen? I want to go a little bit more because I want to look into what the scriptures or what some of the early Christian writings had to say about apostles. Amen? But we have to make sure that we're sticking with the word of God. And we can look at early Christian writings, and it does talk about how to dictate or how to see what's a true apostle and what's a true bishop. There's other people out there. Before I go into the Dedicating and some of the other early Christian writings, we'll touch up on Irenaeus again, what he has to say about the qualifications of a bishop. But even it's been in the news, Bishop Lamar Whitehead, the one who was robbed one Sunday morning preaching, with both him and his wife having over $1 million worth of jewelry. And we talk about modesty and other stuff like that. There's other things that's out there in regards to this man, where he preaches prosperity and other things and all, which contradicts what a bishop should be. He calls himself an apostle. It identifies this because he contradicts what the Bible and what the Word of God says, that the qualifications of a bishop and an apostle. He is a lover of money. Anytime somebody is going out trying to promote themselves, even out in the world, got angry because he went on D.L. Hughley's radio program and got embarrassed, and now he wants to fight him for $1 million and all that. Is that Christ-like? Number one. So it just goes to show you all these people. You have Bill Johnson of Bethel Reading claims that he and his apostle that promotes all these crazy wild doctrines of grave sucking, where you go to pass ministers who seem like they were highly anointed in the past, and you go and you suck the anointing off their grave, so that anointing will be a part of you now. Taken out of context, the scripture, how the one soldier who fell on the dead prophet Elisha's grave, fell on his bones, and he had died, and then he was revived just off his bones. That kind of foolishness that he's promoting, promoting angel feathers and gold dust and just all these other stuff that just doesn't line up with the scriptures. Going to look at the Dedicate, and it talks about, this is chapter 11, talks about teachers, apostles, and prophets. It says, whosoever then comes and teaches you all these things aforesaid, receive him. But if the teacher himself be perverted and teach another doctrine to destroy things, and do not listen to him, but if his teaching be for the increase of righteousness and knowledge of the Lord, receive him as the Lord. So this is talking about you receive a teacher or a bishop or a prophet. Those are teaching the increase of righteousness and knowledge of the Lord. Those are the people that you receive. It says, and concerning the apostles and prophets, act thus according to the ordinance of the gospel, that every apostle who comes to you be received as the Lord. But let him not stay more than one day, or if need, be second as well. But if he stay 3 days, he is a false prophet. And when the apostle goes forth, let him accept nothing but bread till he reach his night's lodging. But if he ask for money, he is a false prophet. So this blows the majority of pastors, how they've been trained in America, and you're starting to see this in Africa, are ignorant to the actually sound biblical doctrine and early Christian writings, which exposes a lot of things that you see practiced in popular Christianity, that you see on Daystar, that you see on TBN, and all these other things and all that are being promoted and being propagated on pushing money. It says, then there are false prophets. It says, do not test or examine any prophet who's speaking in a spirit, for every sin shall be forgiven, but this sin shall not be forgiven. But not everyone who speaks in the spirit is a prophet, except he have the behavior of the Lord. From his behavior, then, the false prophet and the true prophet shall be known. So through the behavior, you'll know the true versus the false. So just don't excuse, oh, you know, he's still highly anointed, but he's a fornicator. You know them by their fruit. I read on. And no spirit who orders a meal and a spirit shall eat of it. Otherwise, he is a false prophet. And every prophet who teaches the truth, if he do not what he teaches, is a false prophet. So if you don't do what you teach, then you're false. But to no prophet who has been tried is genuine, though he enact worldly mystery of the church, he teach not others to do what he does himself, shall be judged by you, for he has his judgment with God. For so also did the prophets of old. But whosoever shall say in the spirit, give me money, something else of you, shall not listen to him. But if he tell you to give on behalf of others and want, let none judge him. So if you're telling somebody to give for others, you listen to him. But if somebody's telling you something to give for their own self-gain and motivations, don't listen to them. So I don't know, care who you're sitting up underneath, they're having people that come in and conduct themselves in a way is false and not true. You need to walk out and not come back to that revival or that conference. We need to start becoming boldly and strengthened and following sound doctrine. I'm going to go over to Dedicate 15. We'll go to 15. It says, appoint therefore yourselves bishops and deacons worthy of the Lord, meek men. Again, this comes up, not lovers of money, and truthful, approved, for they also minister to you the ministry of the apostles and teachers. Therefore, do not despise them, for they are honorable men together with the prophets and teachers. And reprove one another, not in wrath, but in peace, you find in the gospel. And let none speak with any who has done wrong to his neighbor. Not let him hear a word from you until he repents. But your prayers and alms and your acts perform as ye find in the gospel. Amen. Let's go to some early Christian writings. Amen. And this is Hermes. He's talking about bishops. He says, those square white stones, which fitted exactly into each other, are apostles, bishops, teachers, and deacons who have lived in a godly purity, have acted chastely and reverently as the bishops and teachers and deacons. So the criteria also too, you shouldn't be just because quote unquote bishop is very charismatic and is able to preach, as we say, preach the house down, but his lifestyle contradicts the word of God. He doesn't live, this person doesn't live in purity. They're not chaste. Don't follow after, because they're living a false, they're not following what they're preaching and teaching. It contradicts the word. It contradicts the word of God. It's false. So you got to be able to identify that, not because they are able to get you emotionally going, that they're well spoken. If their character and their fruit don't line up, don't follow them. That's the way of identifying what's true and what's false. When you see this, it says, we go over to Irenaeus, and he states this about it. Says, it is incumbent to obey the presbyters who are in church, but those who I have shown possess succession of the apostles, those who together with the succession of the episcopate have received certain gifts of truth according to good pleasures of the Father. It says, now all these heretics are much later date than the bishops to whom the apostles committed to the church, as Irenaeus. Amen. So what they're saying is that bishops should exhibit and apostles should exhibit character. This is Hermes, and he's talking about bishops. It says, those who believe were following the bishops, giving to hospitality, who always gladly received into their houses the servants of God without hypocrisy. So a bishop shouldn't be hypocritical. And by their ministry, these bishops never fail to protect. So the bishops should be able to protect widows and those who are in need, and always, not sometimes, a bishop should always maintain a holy life. So we're seeing this with the early Christians. They knew, and the apostles, you got to practice what you preach. You gotta not go for all the fluff and all the hoopla. It has to line up with word. Yes, you have to go off what type of fruit somebody is presenting, because you can be easily overtaken. You can be easily duped. You can be easily deceived. So we've seen this, identifying false apostles and false bishops. We're living in the last days. Jesus warns us at least four times in Matthew chapter 24. Beware of false prophets. Beware of deception. Other things and all. And we're living in a day and age where it's an escalation of people calling themselves bishops, self-proclaimed bishops, or they find some people to ordain them and elevate them into a position where they're not even, God never designated them, or God never ordained them, even though man ordained them and put them in the position. And they act in such a way where it brings a reproach upon the whole body of Christ when they built their brand, and then some sex scandal happens or some scandal, and it's revealed that they're really false, and the world mocks that. So we need to, especially in these last and evil days, we need to start becoming more grounded as saints of God in the word of God. We need to be walking in discernment. We need to be students of the word. We need to expose ourselves to even some of the early Christian writings, what they had to say about ethics and lifestyles and other things and all, because there's so much that's out there that we get so super excited to run up and give seed money. You have this foolishness where people take out of context scripture where people laid the money down at the apostles' feet, and then you have people, these quote-unquote apostles that are dancing up there in the pulpit, and people are running up there throwing money at their feet and all, after preaching an empty message that brought no repentance, brought no transformation in somebody's life. We have to start judging a lot of these ministers based on even the people that sit up underneath them, based on the fruit of the Spirit, based on the, are these people becoming mature Christians? Are you been in church for 20 some odd years and you're still immature? You're still battling with fornication and adultery and other things, and you're still battling with lying and hatred and other things, backbiting and gossiping and all these other things and all. And you know, you've been in church, you racked up a lot of church miles and church years, but you never came to the full realization of being conformed in the image of Christ. You're conformed to the image of your pastor and the church, and you run the church faster than you run to consecrating yourself, having a devotional life and reading the word for yourself and maturing in spiritual things. So hopefully you receive something from this study, identifying false bishops and false apostles. Take this into application. I quoted several different scriptures. I quoted several different sources within early Christian writings that will help equip you, especially in the last and evil days. It's important to expose these type of things, but also equip true Christians that want to know the truth and be able to have resources to seek the truth. God bless.